reconvene the board member meeting. We'll go to agenda item 5, which is update on the state, regional, and local water supply conditions. Jeff?
So when it rains next, when it doesn't rain next year, you're going to sign it to somebody else.
Yeah, remember last year.
Yeah. Remember last year when it was so good.
So this is the same presentation I gave to the planning committee over a week ago. And I was just pointing out that the committee did update some of their numbers since then. So nothing major as far as moving the needle, but I'll go over a couple of changes that are here. So, briefly, I'm going to give her an update to the board on the California water conditions and what's the snowpack and rainfall conditions look like. How are we doing with regard to bringing that water into the Southern California region? And then, how is NEC responding to those conditions? And then, a brief discussion of local lakes and our several water systems. So, again, this exhibit here is taken from NEC's water supply condition report. It was last updated on the 9th. As you see here, I think I showed that April 2nd. The state water conditions are extremely favorable this year. Starting with the upper right hand corner, the peak snow pack is on this graphic at 162. It didn't move hardly at all since 161, the most recent report. But you can see all of the local reservoirs are doing really, really good. And the state reservoirs, Oracle is at 82% today. San Luis Reservoir is at 98%. Castaic is at 80%, and Grand Valley at 94%. So nothing's really changed greatly on that graphic and there. But all very, very favorable conditions. I would add, looking at the snowpack, the four graphs in the middle of the chart there. You see the one with the red line going out, that's Southern California, Sierra snowpack, and extremely favorable compared to our historical averages. Switching to the Oracle, this question was asked at the committee a month ago. How is Oracle doing? Oracle, as you know, is a double as a water supply in Southern California as well as Northern California, but it also doubles as stormwater retention or detention. And so as of March 31st, the spillway construction is complete. The DJR started releasing water from Oracle. So you can see that actually occurring where that blue line crosses the purple and the black dotted line. That indicated that they started releasing on that date. So that's a good news report. If you look at all the reservoirs throughout the state on the graphic on the right, this is the information that we get from the Department of Water Resources. And again, most of these reservoirs are well in excess of 80% full. Some of them are full. Very, very good, strong water supply conditions for the coming year. Switching to the Upper Colorado River Basin, also good news. The region, Colorado River, has received about 121% of normal rainfall, or 133% of snowpack, so those are very strong numbers. Lake Powell has not changed significantly since I reported the board last, but Lake Mead has increased by about 3% since I last reported to the board. So that's very good news. There's the graph in the bottom center of the page here that shows that the unregulated flow through Lake Powell, that's kind of indicative of what's happening in a lot of flow on Jubilee, being brought down to Lake Mead to serve Arizona and Nevada. So I would point out that the Lake Mead information on the bottom right has not been updated, but I do have a graphic here on the next slide to talk about Lake Mead in more detail. The graph in the upper right in this case does show that the Colorado River Basin snowpack is substantially above average of the red line in the upper right hand corner. So switching to the Colorado River Basin and Lake Mead, brief discussion on that. The state did approve the drought contingency plan, and that was enacted by Congress a little over a week ago, a week and a half ago. That was approved. So the Colorado River drought contingency plan is actually in place. And what that requires, there's different trigger levels that cause the different members that are, have a water right within Lake Mead. It causes them to hit different conservation targets as different water levels are achieved in the lake. And so we continue to pump from the lake, the water levels, and causes different things to occur. So as it says today, the water surface, which is currently at 1,090 feet, where it dropped down to 1,075, there would be additional reductions in deliveries to the state of Arizona. If it should drop all the way down to 1,045, there's additional reductions in deliveries to California as well as Arizona. But that's the DARPA is in plan in place right now. There's a proactive way, or a proactive approach to ensure they don't continue to see precipitous decline in that lake level, which caused that secondary. As it sits today, Met staff does not anticipate that they will reach their trigger level in 2019. The local Southern California reservoirs are all looking very strong. The state is kind of the operational reservoirs. They're breaking water from the north to the south. So they do reserve an operational capacity network surface by the lake. Lake Matthews kind of has the same thing. It's bringing water from the river. It's the terminus of that system from the Colorado River. So they maintain an operational storage there. Diamond Valley Lake is approaching full. Again, they reserve a little bit of capacity there for operational deliveries, allows them to be a little flexible with quick deliveries from the north or the Colorado River into the southern region. And Lake Skinner is doing very well as well. So Met's allocation today, as we stand today, is at 70%, or 1.3 million acre feet for the coming year. Current river flows are still strong in North California. There's a very good chance that Met's allocation could be increased up to 75%. EWR Article 21 conditions are still declared, but it does have a function of what do each of the state water contract agencies project their demands to be. So as we sit here today, you know, there's Article 21 conditions. Met does not have the ability to take advantage of that water today for the remainder of the month of April. And being told probably into late May before they take advantage of Article 21 water. They did have the advantage of 2 weeks worth of Article 21 water surplus deliveries brought from the south for the first 2 weeks of February and then 4 weeks in March. So that was very positive. But as they continue to monitor supply and demand conditions, they will reevaluate and we're hoping to bring, or they are hoping to get additional Article 21 water for current water recharge activities in late May or June. Matt is actually asking me here, and we are actively looking at and talking with the parties of the water master about taking pre-delivery support and delivery water. Paul talked to you about that in his report earlier, so I won't dwell on that. But we do think there's a high likelihood that we can complete the current pre-delivery for delivery water for the current year and likely get an additional 7,500 acre feet in for the coming year as well. So it'll be a year ahead in regard to deliver soil water. Met has, as Paul mentioned, also taken measures whereby the general manager can approve cyclic storage agreements. There is currently an existing cyclic storage agreement between Eastern Metropolitan and Northern California Water District. They were able to take some water on that agreement back in 2017. And Rancho California Water District has indicated that they would like to take an additional 10,000 acre feet available this year. So we've already been talking directly with Met and Rancho about that matter. And it looks like it's likely that we'll have to initiate that surface water recharge activities in the very short term. There's also the ability to take indirect treated water to Rancho. In that case, our thinking right now is that would be going through the Western Municipal Water Service connection to Rancho rather than through the eastern side. We serve both raw water and direct treated water. In this case, they would be bringing that all into one connection. It's kind of a function of where the supply and demands are. So. Switching to local lakes, this graphic really has not changed greatly, just a couple tents here and there, but Canyon Lake and Lake Hemet still being full. So that's good news. Dale Lake, they'll use three or four of a great atmospheric rivers to bring their capacity, so that's not likely to happen at this point. recharge activities are wrapping up at IRRP or our integrated recharge ponds at San Seno. Our intent is that we're going to relocate the equipment out to Grant Street early this week. But we should be finished with all that work there this week. Once we get to Grant Street, we'll start looking within the basin or the ponds themselves to restore the damage to the berms. There is damage to the inlet and diversion channel, as well as the structure that allows the lead wire to the ponds or alternatively open back up further back to the river. We have hired Albany Webber Associates to do an aerial survey of the inlet diversion structure as well as the ponds, but in anticipation that project that we would like to complete in the latter part of this year, looking at how those diversion structures can be redesigned, replaced, possibly create a fail-safe section of berm that would maybe 50 or 100 feet of berm would fail before allowing that water to continue going downstream into our ponds and doing a greater level of damage within the ponds themselves. So engineering is taking lead on that effort. The aerial survey has been completed and we've received the information which we will pass along to engineering. We've also hired Weaver and Curran to kind of coalesce all of the environmental information with regard to activities associated with working in and around the San Juan River. There's biological constraints and a lot of concerns that we should have to make a misstep and get in trouble for violating some of those standards. So they're collating all that information and will present a report to staff. We're also going to be working with them to develop a new 404 permit, which is our intent is to get kind of a broad and somewhat liberal license to do work to ensure that we can continue to take advantage of our diversion rights in the river and get a permit that gives us latitude to make modifications as the stream moves with each of subsequent large storm flow. Our imported water recharge probably reported to you, so I won't go on that as well, but I would have to report that we continue to recharge the high rate. We actually did hit 40 CFS. At one point this week, we've since backed away for some percolation testing that we're going to be doing later this week and next week. But having to report we are with very high volumes of water down the ground in between Grant Street and IRP. Switching to the recent water supplies, we're currently sitting at about 84% in our storage ponds throughout the district. We have ceased discharging on April 9th, so we don't anticipate the need to discharge any more water. Sales are very strong right now. We've been selling over 30 MGD for the past probably week and a half. In total, we discharged 5,615 feet this past year, which is the largest probably, I guess, more than 10 years as far as our discharge goes. And then in summary, just real quickly, state water project conditions look really good, as well as at the Colorado River. Very strong water supply conditions for the southwest. Met and the other reservoirs are both in very, very good shape for the coming year, coming multiple years actually. And Met is actively working with local agencies to see what they can do to take advantage of surplus water from Northern California to get into the region reserved for dry years. Our local agencies to the Four Lakes are full as reported, and we are actively working hard to do what we can to get as much water in the ground as we possibly can. Again, targeting about 22,000 acre feet in the coming year. So with that, I'll answer any questions.
Jeff, I have a question. If Matt, with as wet a year as we've had this year, and net is only going to get 70, maybe 75%. How in the world do you get to 100%?
I don't know that 100 is ever achieved. It's, so they look at demands for the region. They look at the weather conditions and the snowpack and what the current reservoirs are in the DWR system. And from there, they parse out that water to all of the different agencies. They find qualitative way. I'm not aware of probably.
The current operating constraints under the Endangered Species Act limit the windows in which water can be pumped to the project and to the Central Valley project. Even at a maximum year like this, the pumping limitations and windows prevent the DWR from allocating 100%. That's why one of the central reasons the water fix is needed is to avoid those pumping windows, and also they move larger quantities of water during the environmentally restrictive or outside of the environmentally restrictive pumping windows. That's why when they talk about the one tunnel versus the two tunnel, and you go from 9,000 to 6,000 CFS, it actually does two things. First, it doesn't allow you to move as much water so you can get to that 100% allocation in a year like this. And second, it doesn't fully mitigate the reverse flow conditions in the delta that are impacting the species, so those windows tend to be shorter. So it has kind of a doubling down effect on it of having a lower capacity facility. So that's why you don't get to 100%.
Do they also have a priority system whereby, you know, districts further to the north that are on?
No, you have your table A. Everybody has what's called a table A allocation, mm-hmm. and they give everybody a percentage of the allocation regardless of where you are.
Interesting question. I think the minor decision was in 2008.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, it's not a question, but it'd be interesting if we can find, just maybe for myself, maybe some of the other board members would like to know. But last year, how much water left Diamond Valley Lake, and where did it go? And then how much water left Lake Skinner, and where did it go? It's, and then we move a lot of water, but where does it go? And I, you know, as long as I've been here, I never knew where it went. But it'd be kind of interesting to see how much goes to San Diego, how much goes here.
I can get those numbers.
Sure.
How much left Oroville, and how much went in the ocean?
Yeah, that's what we have here is pocket change.
Yeah, we can find out for DVL and Skinner.
Yeah. We get asked that every once in a while. Where's all the water coming? You guys use the water?
The force reaches our yard and access to Skinner Mills and Colorado River.
Yeah, you can use that drink you're having.
Yeah. Yeah. If your ice cubes are salty, they're coming from Skinner. Okay. All right. With that, we will accept a motion and a second for approval of items 6A through 6B, which is receive and file.
I'll make that motion.
All second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously with Director Slauson and Record absent. And with that, we'll go to the calendar review. Nicole.
And that's on what day?
May 2nd, which is a Thursday at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I'll probably go to that one.
The annual Solar Cup event is now scheduled for May 17th through the 19th, which is a weekend, Friday through Sunday. Invitations are in the mail, and we've all received an email from Malia as well. There's a full schedule attached to this calendar report, as well as a location map for those who are interested in attending.
Yeah. I've already let Malia know that I'm going. And then the invitation letter that goes out, that she's going to send out, who will receive the invitation? Who will receive the invitation letter? Will it be the cities in which we have high schools, their elected officials?
Yes.
And
yes, we have all of our key contacts with all of our cities, of agencies.
Okay.
Community leaders.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a great idea. I don't think we haven't done that before, but it gives a lot of people an opportunity to go out there and see that.
Mm-hmm. And just a note as well, the Solar Cup recognition event will be held Thursday, May 30th at 6:30 p.m. and it will be held here in the boardroom that evening. Dinner will be served as well.
And I'll plan on attending that.
Yeah, and I'm attending that. I don't think I've needed a black coat.
On Friday, June 14th, the BIA Legislative Affairs Committee will be holding a luncheon featuring Congressman Ken Calvert. It will be held at 11:30 a.m. at the Riverside Convention Center.
I'll attend that.
Yeah, I'll attend that one. What date was that again?
It's Friday, June 14th.
Yeah.
Page 2, we have the board's master calendar for the next 2 weeks. Friday, April 19th at noon, the Santa Central Group will be holding a past, present, and future water issues event. Director Record will be speaking. Director Polly will attend along with Paul Jones.
I'm going to try to attend. It depends on my schedule.
On Monday, April 22nd, at 8:30 a.m., Director Polly will take a tour of Winchester with Joey Milan. Tuesday, April 23rd, we have the Board Executive Committee meeting at 3:30 p.m. Director Slauson has followed us. Wednesday, April 24th, at 7:30 a.m., Director Sullivan has his update meeting with the General Manager. Thursday, April 25th at 10:30 a.m., the Board Operations and Engineering Committee will meet. And on Thursday, April 25th as well, the annual student recognition event will be held at Art Harvest Elementary School at 6:30 p.m. I have Directors Polly and Sullivan scheduled to attend. On Friday, April 26th at 7:30 a.m., the Riverside County Water Task Force Speaker Series will be held at Western. Currently, don't have anyone attending.
Is
anyone interested in participating in that event?
I probably will go. I missed the last one.
Director Slauson, I think he'll be going too. He mentioned it to me.
On Friday, April 26th as well, we have the Center for Water Coalition quarterly luncheon in Carson. That event will be held at noon. Director Polly is scheduled to attend, and we also have another speak available. Anyone would like to join them?
What is that one?
That's the Southern California Water Coalition quarterly luncheon. It's in Carson, at the Carson Event Center, at noon.
I doubt it.
On Saturday, April 27th, Paris Health Fair will be held at 9 to 2 p.m.
Yes.
And Director Sullivan will attend. The district will have a booth there and will be participating in that event. On Monday, April 29th, Director Polly has his final CRP meeting with Deputy General Manager Nomura at 7:30 a.m. Monday, the 29th at noon, the district will be giving the IEUA board a tour of facilities. Director Sullivan is tentatively scheduled to attend.
And that'll include board member Katie Parker and Jasmine Holt.
And Jasmine? Great.
Correct.
Great.
On Monday the 29th as well, we have the Kevin Water and Sewer Acquisition meeting here at the district at 3 p.m. Director Polly. The joint meeting with Elsinore Valley Water District is scheduled for Tuesday, April 30th, 3:30 p.m. It will be held here at the district for Director Snow and Polly. And lastly, I'd just like to add that just before the next board meeting on May 1st, we do have the board's disclosure obligations training scheduled in room 217 at 8:30 a.m. And then immediately following that, the board meeting, the customer service meters group will be holding the project celebration lunch for the AMI project, and that will be held at the call center at noon. On page 3, we have upcoming events. We've added the BMWD Water Festival in October, just to save the date, but there are other conferences listed. If you're interested in attending any of these events or you'd like additional information, please let me know. The board's upcoming meetings are on schedule. The committee meetings are listed on page 4. And those are on schedule as well, as such as indicated. Any updates or
changes to the calendar? Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll go to Steve, your meetings.
Okay, on April 8th, I had my meeting with Paul Penfolds, and that was a good meeting. Had the Rancho California Water District meeting on April 11th. The big item was that they moved from drought stage 3C to 3A, which is a good thing. There was also a discussion about the cyclic program and how they were going to take more water. A little bit of controversy. There was a request from the Pechanga tribe to do a video thing on Vail Lake property to talk about the Temecula Massacre back in the 1800s. There's a lot of discussion I actually even joined in, there's a historical aspect as to where the battle actually occurred and concern about if the Pechangas wouldn't give Rancho a script as to what they were going to say. And so anyway, we went around and around and around, and they finally said, well, we'll let them do it. But, there was a lot of discussion on it. Something that was probably supposed to go like that. But anyway, and then I was unable to attend the facilities tour yesterday.
So is Pechanga going to do the video? Why did they have to ask Rancho?
It's on their property.
It's on Rancho's property.
Oh, they want to.
Yeah, and so
walk around the
field.
They don't want to do it by drone.
And that was some of the you don't need to actually go on the property and stuff. And then there was some discussion about the Pechanga's write up that the Battle of Court occurred just below the water line where the dam is, and just some of the comments that were made by the Pechangas became worrisome to Rancho. So.
Okay. All right.
Hi,
Director Pauly.
I attended the California Water Quality Conference in San Diego, and April were there with me, and thought it was very well, and every time I attend those, you just realize how further along we are in our recycled water system compared to other agencies. And when some of the talk turns recycled, then you just realize that we are leap years, in my opinion, ahead of everybody else. It's quite satisfying of what a great job our team here at Eastern has done. So, and then I was not able to be on the CalDESAL conference call the other day.
Okay.
That's it for me.
All right. Did attend the Project 24 meeting that we're trying to get everybody in agreement with. So I had that with Western. Also, the Paris 2 groundbreaking ceremony, which I thought was absolutely terrific. We had a lot of people there, people from the Corps and people from the Bureau. I thought that was terrific. My Director's Advisory Committee, Amanda always does an absolutely superb job, and for the most part let her do most of the talking all night. And it's heartening to see how much a staff member knows more than a board member. But she's very smooth in the way that she does it, and she's so congenial. Santa Ana River Watershed Conference I thought was excellent. There was excellent There was excellent panels.
Great comments.
I know Paul and the general managers all had a terrific panel. I thought it was a riot that each one of the other four general managers said they don't like being on a panel with Paul because they all have to follow him. And that's, you know, not. I didn't get my 2 cents in worth because I said, Paul on occasion has to follow me, only to clean up my comments. So anyway. The federal legislative meeting in Washington, D.C., I thought was extremely productive. And I know that Paul and Jolene followed up a little bit. Certainly Paul did with some water reuse stuff. And I had the honor of being at the Texas Day water deal in Washington, D.C. Had a chance to listen to both of their senators and a couple of other folks. And then I got honored as an honorary Texan and a 10-gallon Stetson hat, whatever you want to call it. So I'm now an official Texan. I did not attend the National Water Resources Association because I was really back there on Eastern's agenda. The Multi-State Salinity Coalition Planning Committee Conference, I did not get on that one. I got had another priority. And yesterday we had Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority Commission meeting, and we got introduced to some potential rates from Orange County Sand District. So that was it. So with that, we have any director's comments or for any future agenda items? Hearing none, then we have no closed session today, according to council. And with that, we'll adjourn to Wednesday, May 1 at 9 a.m.